Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. I have said this many times. I am a process guy. What is your process to getting there? If we're playing blackjack at the same table, and the dealer has a six, which is a bus card, and you've got a 14, you should stay. Any blackjack card that you pick up at a blackjack table, you know, or that you buy at the casino, they'll say, hit, stay, double. We'll say, stay, because you're likely to bust, and she's likely to bust. So, let her bust. Now, that doesn't mean that she won't flip over a five and drop a jack, and now you would have lost either way, but that's how the game is played. And when somebody does something stupid, like hits a 14 against a six and gets a seven and is like, I'm sitting there in the other seat saying, I got to get away from this person. I cannot play blackjack with this person. The NFL, I think, oftentimes is a lot like that. One of the things that I found pretty admirable about working with Floyd was that he had his principles, and once he said, now, I never saw him as a GM, and maybe some of it was tough GM guy talk, but once he set it down of saying, hey, if you don't run the 40 at the combine, I am not going to draft you. I said, okay. And that wasn't what he said. He said, if you didn't run a 40, so I guess you could run it at your pro day, but if you don't run a 40, I'm not drafting you. And I'm sure there were some players that didn't run 40s that were good, and they didn't draft, and maybe they lost out on it. I don't know. But I at least appreciated the process. And I've always said, he was an injurist, which was, hey, he doesn't care if you're tall, he doesn't care if you're short, he doesn't care if you're fat, he doesn't care if you're skinny, he doesn't care if you're a man, he doesn't care if you're a woman, he doesn't care if you're white, he doesn't care if you're Asian, he doesn't care if you're black, he doesn't care if you're, never care. But he's an injurist, and if you're injured, Ian, back me up. Floyd did not like you.
He was very skeptical to draft you.
So, I mean, right now, I'm looking at the Titans, and I feel bad for Caleb Farley. And when I saw him get injured on Monday night, I thought two things. One, I felt awful for this kid. And two, anybody surprised? Were you surprised, Caroline, when Caleb Farley got hurt?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. Obviously, it's not something I wanted to happen, but whenever you're dealing with an injury that supports your entire body, a back injury, and then you have a shoulder injury, and then you have, you're missing practice because of this and that and
the
other.
He's an injury-prone guy.
You're injury-prone.
What happens to injury-prone guys? They get injured.
They get injured.
Ian, were you surprised that Farley got hurt?
I mean, I guess not. No.
So, the Titans had three major acquisitions this year. Farley, Julio Jones, and Bud Dupree. Now, Bud Dupree played okay Monday night, but even he's dealing with his own injury. But he needs to get over that injury and then let's see. Julio Jones is running out on the field. We just talked about it with Chris. I'm watching Julio run on the field Monday night. And he's like stopping before he gets to the huddle and like bending over, which is a hamstring stretch. It is a calf stretch and a hamstring stretch. And I'm watching Julio gimp over to the huddle. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, he's still hurt. Like, good for Julio that he's pushing through it. But did Julio even catch a ball on Monday night? Like, he was a non-factor because he's hurt. And these are guys that the Titans shouldn't have invested high-quality capital in order to bring in because of their injuries. Chris lost his mind on draft night when the Titans draft Caleb Farley. He couldn't believe it. He said it was a terrible pick, which is something that has never come out of Chris Sanders' mouth. And so I got to ask this question. What are the Titan doctors looking at? And I'm not getting mad at the Titan doctors here, because it could be an edict from the Titan doctors of, hey, if the Titans football operations team wants this guy passed, then let's go ahead and pass him. But right now, I'm looking at the medical team. Mike Sando in The Athletic published a piece in May of this year in which analyzed every team who drafted, every team's draft with unnamed executives and general managers and, quote, says a league exec, if the corner becomes a good player, God bless them. but his medical was terrible. Another general manager said, we like the North Dakota State guard they took in the second round. He could play right tackle, but we were way more worried about Farley's back than some of the other injuries for guys in the first couple of rounds. By the way, it should be noted, Farley had a knee injury in 2017 at Virginia Tech. Now again, people will say, Jeffrey Simmons got hurt tearing his ACL and he's good. Simmons is good. Simmons is not great. When they drafted Simmons, we were told that the reason they were taking the risk was because of his potential to be great. And guess what? He hasn't realized it yet. And it's his third year in the league. And so we're still waiting for that to materialize. So I'm sitting here looking at all these injured guys. Corey Davis was injured. That didn't work out. And I've thought about it. John Robinson loves the injured guy. He loves him. He thinks he's getting a bargain. He thought he was getting the sixth best player or whatever player in the draft when he was taking in the 20s to draft Caleb Farley. The problem is Caleb Farley isn't on the team this year. He gave you nothing this year. You got nothing out of the first round last year. At some point, you've got to be smart about investing high capital and currency. I'm not saying you should be turned off by every injured player. But the Titans just keep investing in injured guys. I had talked to a league source, and I reported this a couple of weeks ago. I had talked to a league source who told me the Atlanta Falcon doctors thought Julio Jones was never going to be back to the level of Julio again. I thought, and I heard this after the trade, I thought when they made the trade and they said the deal's done pending a physical, because of what the Titans were paying for it, I thought there was a legitimate chance that the Titans doctors were going to flunk Julio Jones. They didn't. They passed. They paid $15 million. They paid a second round pick. And Julio right now is not giving you anything because, surprise, surprise, he's hurt. So what are the Titan doctors seeing that all the other doctors in the league aren't seeing? That the general manager that talked to Mike Sando said, yeah, that kid's medicals were terrible. Farley already had a knee injury in college. In fact, the years that Farley spent at Virginia Tech, he got hurt. He moved to defense. He was a great player. He got hurt. He opted out. He got hurt again. Now he's hurt. Since he's been in the NFL, he's had a back, a shoulder, a foot, and an ACL. He's been in the NFL for 2 months. What am I missing here? This has got to be something. And this is the one thing this show will do. We will critically analyze angles of the Titans that are worth discussing. Even if it's not the happy rah-rah go team go, they're going to beat Kansas City by 35 talk that I think some people want to hear. But I'm concerned about the Titan doctors. I'm concerned about these guys they're clearing. And I'm concerned about the risks that the Titans keep taking on players that they shouldn't be taking. And I go back to the blackjack analysis, or the analogy from the talking about blackjack, where Jack Conklin, people think that it's the worst thing in the world that Jack Conklin didn't re-sign with the Tennessee Titans. Now, I'll say this. Since Jack Conklin left, the Titans were 11-5, won the division, had a 2,000-yard rusher. This year, they're on pace to have another 2,000-yard rusher with a practice squad guy at right tackle. That's not that bad. But people are convinced that losing Jack Conklin was the worst thing that ever happened to the Tennessee Titans. And Conklin's good. But the decision Robinson made when he made it, not to pick up the fifth-year option on Conklin, was the right decision. It ended up not working out because Conklin had a great year, hit the market, and got all that money. But it was the right decision. Like, the process that led to you declining the option was the right call. He had ended his season prematurely each of the 2 years before with knee operations. You can't invest that kind of money in that position when you're unsure of a guy and he's coming off of two knee surgeries. But I wonder if getting burned on the Conklin thing has now changed his mind that, hey, he'll be healthy. He'll be healthy. The GM that told Mike Sando didn't think that about Farley. Hey, he'll be healthy. We believe. We trust. We know. Farley's hurt. Farley did nothing this year. Isaiah Wilson did nothing for you last year. At some point, you have to start getting things out of your draft picks. A first-round pick in the National Football League is some high-level currency. They're just getting nothing out of it. And the doctors just $15 million for Julio, just $15 million. You realize $15 million against the cap, which is what they took on at that time. Now, they've redone the Jones deal. But you do realize $15 million against the cap in a given season is three or four starters, the way that the salary cap works. Three or four starters, $15 million bucks. You paid that for Julio Jones. You do realize a second-round pick, what that can be. And sometimes, I don't know if fans do, because when the Predators were talking about a second-round pick from Mikael Granlund, everybody said, second round, as if Roman Josi, the best player in the franchise right now, wasn't a second-round pick, or Shea Weber, the team captain for forever, wasn't a second-round pick. You realize the two best players on your team right now, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, the two Pro Bowlers you had last year, second-round picks. That's what you're giving up in order to take on injured guys. So I just know this, and I'm not going to sit here and say Floyd would never, as if it's like such a bad thing that the Titans did, other than the fact that I know Floyd would never, and it is a bad thing that the Titans did. They drafted an injured guy, he's injured. They traded for an injured guy, he's injured. Nobody talks about this. Jayon Brown is an injury-prone guy. He was knocked out for the 2019 run. He was knocked out for the season last year. They brought back Jayon Brown. Nobody in free agency wanted to pay Jayon Brown big money. That's why he came back on a one-year, $5 million and change deal. And Jayon Brown's hurt. Taylor Lewan, injury-prone guy now. Tears the ACL. Now he's hurt again. Been hurt all season. You got to be careful investing in injury guys. Now, I'm not getting on them for putting Lewan out there. He was their left tackle, and when a guy comes back. But I see the reaction to the Farley thing about the obvious result of drafting an injured guy is that the injured guy gets injured again. And people are like, what do you mean? It was a freak ACL. It could have happened to anybody. And some guys are that way. They have that freak ACL tear. It gets repaired. They come back. They're fine. Ryan Tannehill, freak ACL injury in Miami. He's come back. I think he had a shoulder injury the next year. He's fine. But these guys are injury guys. This is years of injuries with Julio Jones. Years of injuries with Caleb Farley. That's why I didn't get mad about Bud Dupree. And that's why I'm not screaming about Bud Dupree right now. But somebody please tell me what the Titan doctors see that the other doctors in the NFL don't see. Let me ask you a question. If you were to go out there and make a decision, and I were to make a decision for the radio show, and every other show wouldn't do it. Robbie and Joe are like, oh, we wouldn't do that. And Darren, Donick, and Chase are like, oh, well, we wouldn't do that. And Ryan Porth is sitting there saying, I wouldn't do that. And other program directors around the country are like, oh, I wouldn't do that. And Caroline and Ian are like, I'm not sure I'd do that. Like, at some point, you got to really evaluate, would you do this? And if everybody around the league wouldn't do the Julio deal that you did, doesn't that kind of tell you something? That all the other teams that have picked in front of you, everybody wants a first-round corner. The Dallas Cowboys wanted J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain so bad in this year's draft. I think they really wanted J.C. Horn. But they didn't take Farley. Nobody took Farley. So I think we need to have an analysis of what's going on with the Titans and why they are so willing to pick injured players when nobody else is going to do it, especially considering the fact that now it's really blown up on them. And look, you're going to miss out on guys. A couple of years ago, the Titans had the first pick in the second round. It was the year they drafted Kevin Dodd. And Miles Jack had had that microfracture knee surgery at UCLA. And I said to Floyd the night before round two of the draft, which happened to be the night the Titans drafted Derrick Henry. And when you have that first pick of the second round, it's like having the first pick again because you literally have every player that's still on the board. And I asked Floyd about Miles Jack. And I was like, would you make the move on Miles Jack here? And he was like, no. And I said, what do you mean no? He goes, the medical's too messed up. You just can't take that knee. Even if he's going to give you five good years, you know, you want a guy who's going to give you 10 good years with this pick. And I took that and I said, okay, I understand that. And I wonder if Robinson said, you know, hey, I can take Miles Jack or I can take Jalen Smith. And instead he took Kevin Dodd and he said, well, you know what? Now I should take injured guy. I don't know what it is. But if you keep taking injured guys, this is going to be a problem. And while it may not affect them right now, like they still may be a decent team right now because they've got Derrick Henry, who very rarely ever gets hurt, I think the philosophy that I am seeing with the Titans and their talent acquisition is troubling as to what their doctors are clearing and everybody else's aren't. We'll get your reaction on it. We'll get Caroline and Ian's reaction as well on this. 615-737-1025. Should we be concerned with the route in which the Titan doctors are clearing players that perhaps other teams aren't interested in and the results that are coming from it? And are we worried about Julio's injury as well? 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. And I think it's a fair look. And I think the Titans have to be a little bit more transparent as far as, you know, telling us, hey, this guy, you know, be careful here or there. Listen to the MLB postseason on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 94.9, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, catch Game 4 of the NLCS as the Braves take on the Dodgers. Coverage will join in progress at 8 o'clock. 312 Pizza Company in Germantown is home to Nashville's best pizza and uses all natural ingredients, and everything is made in-house from scratch. Head to 312 Pizza Company to grab a bite, a beer, and watch some October baseball. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Situation with Farley and Fulton, probably not available. The next man up mindset, you know, how much does that apply to Chris Jones? What are some of the things that you like from him?
I mean, Chris has been with us. You know, certainly somebody that we'll look at. You know, Body's been with us for a while, been working, practicing, and so, you know, confident that if those guys, you know, get an opportunity, they'll do everything they can to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, hey, Chris Jones, we've only cut the guy three times, but yeah, nice. Rock on. Breon Body Calhoun. Although I got to be honest with you, I kind of like Body Calhoun in the preseason. But Caleb Farley out for the year, Julio Jones. Julio's playing through it. I got to give Julio credit because we talked about, you know, is Julio not a team player? Is Julio Julio's hurt and he's playing through it. But the Titans love the injured guys. Are you worried about what the Titan doctors are doing and clearing guys and then the Titans doing things that other teams won't do and then it blowing up on them like Farley has in this instance?
Oh, absolutely, because it's not an isolated incident with Caleb Farley, especially a draft coming after a draft where you got nothing out of your first-round pick. If I were the Titans, I would have been hypersensitive to my first-round pick and picking someone I knew could give me the best shot of giving me the most production possible. So it's concerning that the Titans, knowing that last year got nothing out of their first round pick, this one means a lot. Their doctors obviously making John Robinson feel good enough about Caleb Farley's medicals to pick him in the first round.
Do you think this is about the doctors?
Well, maybe it's not. I mean, I don't know what the doctors said. The doctors very easily could have said, hey, look, John Robinson, I wouldn't do it. And John Robinson did it anyways. So I don't know what the Titans doctor said, but it's a perpetual issue within the Titans organization that they pick, sign, or trade for injured players. And that's a problem when you're paying top dollar or you're putting a ton of investment into a player that cannot give you that same investment back.
No, and the point there is Fulton's now been hurt each of the last 2 years. And Vrabel asked about, you know, not having Fulton and Farley, talks about Chris Jones and Breon Body Calhoun, and those are practice squad players. Like, that's what you're going for. You know, when you invest in the big guys and you go and those guys get hurt, then you're stuck with the little guys. And, like, you can't get to the Super Bowl because of Nick Westbrook-Akina. You can talk about how
all
great he
respect
is,
to Nick Westbrook-Akina,
but he's what he
he's
is.
He's not a number one wide receiver in the league.
He's not a number one. He's not a number two. He's not a slot on a starting team. He is a depth guy on special teams. Like when the Titans in 2000, when they had Yancey Thigpen, Carl Pickens, and Kevin Dyson, and all three guys got hurt, or in the case of Thigpen, you know, in the case of Pickens, he just went off the reservation. Like, they had Chris Sanders, who was a former all-rookie team player on their roster. They had Derek Mason on their team. These guys are not Derek Mason, okay? Like, Breon Body Calhoun's not coming up from the practice squad now. Breon Borders is not going in there against Tyreek Hill and giving you a first-round pick-level effort. And I love Breon Borders, but Breon Borders is what he is. Like, That's why, when you pay money on somebody, it's got to be somebody when you pay high currency. And not every pick's going to work out. I get it. But you could avoid the injured guys and not have to deal with the injury problems that you have right now. I'm also going to say this, and I don't think this is a hot take. Anything you get out of Caleb Farley's career will be a bonus. I think we have reached that point with Farley where the data is so obvious. Like, if the draft were to happen tonight, Farley goes in the sixth round, maybe the seventh. If the draft were to happen tonight, maybe doesn't get picked if the draft were to happen tonight. So at this point, anything you get out of him, I think, is a bonus.
You don't think it's too soon to say that?
I mean, the guy's been an NFL football player for 3 months. He's had a back injury, a shoulder injury, a foot injury, and a knee injury. In college, he had a back injury. He had to have surgery for it. He had to have another back surgery to correct the first surgery. And he had a knee injury. The dude's injury prone. Like, it's like, yes. Mariota. Mariota ran one play week one of the Raiders. IR. Like, that's injury prone. Carson Wentz goes to Indianapolis. He's going to be our guy. He's our savior. Broken foot, no preseason. Bad ankles. Loses you the biggest game of the season on the schedule against the Titans. That's what happens when you invest in injury-prone guys. And I hate it for them. I do. Like, I hate it for Caleb Farley that I'm sitting here today telling you, like, look, man, this guy's career is not going to be anything that you want it to be. I don't see that being a reality. It's not like it's his fault, but that's the game. Like, that is the sport. And so I don't think it's too soon. Now, they'll give him every opportunity because he was a high pick. But I'm just telling you, like, this time next year, when it's Farley's out for the season with a labrum tear, like, okay, that's...
When it comes to ACL injuries, though, is there any type of difference between, like, that versus, hey, his back is still bothering him kind of thing? ACL injury almost feels a little freakish.
That's what I said about Marcus. Because, and remember, I was a staunch Marcus defender and quickly learned my lesson on that one. But Marcus, when he got here, he had a knee injury that first year. You know, Olivier Vernon hit him dirty and he missed a couple of games. And the second year, he broke the leg. And I'm like, well, that's a freak injury. Like, Mariota breaks his leg. The next year, he pulls his hamstring and has to deal with it the whole season, or his quad or something like that. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a freak injury. The next year, he has the elbow injury, and it's that one where he got hit on the turf in Miami, and he could never get the feeling back, and it felt like he had a ligament just strumming in his elbow all year. And it was like, what's that with Marcus? And then he hurt it again at the end of the season, and it was the day of week 17 against the Colts. When winner goes to the playoffs, loser goes home, Adam Schefter in the morning tweets out, Marcus Mariota going to miss this game with the injury on his elbow. And at that point, I'm like, I can't count on you anymore. Like, look, and that was a freak injury to Marcus with the elbow. I've never seen that. Floyd had been in the NFL for 40 years. He had never seen that. Yeah, it's a freak injury. But guess what? Marcus had a lot of freak injuries. Farley's got a lot of freak, like Farley, he's an injured guy. He's an injury-prone guy. And the Titans invested a first-round pick. Like, I'm telling you, I do not think that I think Farley would go in the seventh round, maybe, if the draft was held today. We're talking about a guy who hasn't played football in 3 years.
Yes. I mean, if it was just the ACL tear, yes, that's bad. It's terrible that he's going to miss the rest of the season. But there have been several players who have torn their ACL. That's the only injury they have, and they're able to come back sure. And not really miss a beat.
An isolated injury for one guy.
That's things happen.
An injury-prone guy, that's different.
Especially when it starts with an injury that's really bad. An ACL tear, yeah, it's bad. Yeah, you need surgery, but you can come back from it. A back injury, a hip injury, for example, with Tua. That's a central part of your body that can affect any other place. So it doesn't surprise me that they continue to have injuries after that, because Caleb Farley, has a back injury. When you, let's say, tear your ACL on your right leg, you're going to put more pressure on your left leg, and then that may cause your left leg to get injured. Whenever it's your back, that supports your entire body. So, you know, your shoulders may take more of a beating because your back is injured. You don't want to put more pressure on your back. Your hip, for example, with Tua, you know, your hips are the center of your body that moves your entire body when you're a quarterback. That's your throwing motion. So an ACL tear, that doesn't bother me, but it's the accumulation of these injuries that Caleb Farley had when it started with a back injury that makes me very nervous.
Adam is up next. 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What you got, Adam?
I don't think I've ever agreed with you more than this right here. Man, if you remember J-Rob's very first transaction when he got to Tennessee, he traded for DeMarco, and we're all fired up like, oh, my God, this guy's getting the skies. Well, DeMarco was hurt, and then he went to the Eagles and sucked, and then he came here, he had one good year, and then he's hurt, and we got to cut him. And that's kind of what you get with John Robinson. I've always been told that if you get a first-round player, he's supposed to be able to help your team immediately. The last 3 years, none of these dudes have been able to help our team. Jeffrey Simmons got to help us, but the first 8 games were sluggish. Then you kind of see him, you know, you see plays where he's like 100%, but you could tell he was not 100% that first year. And it's been like that the whole way with J-Rob. And so I don't trust what he's doing out there, man. I agree with the Julio thing. I was excited to see him, but I would like one draft where it's not super exciting. A boring pick with a guy who you know is going to play. And, you know, and even if we have to develop him while he's playing, I just want a boring first-round pick.
Thank you for your call. I would say this. I do think that, you know, if you just want the most sure thing in the first round, then you can pick your guy, and the teams that pick after you are going to pick guys that might be better, and that is something you have to weigh. Here's the difference between the DeMarco move and the moves John Robinson's been making. The DeMarco move, and was DeMarco hurt? I don't remember DeMarco being hurt in Dallas. I remember Dallas ran DeMarco like the Titans are running Derek, where it was like, can all these carries, you know, work out for DeMarco Murray? And DeMarco got hurt at the end here in Nashville, but he was getting older. And the thing about the DeMarco trade was, for Julio Jones, you gave up a second round pick straight up and took on $15 million a year in salary. For DeMarco, you made him redo his contract. So after those 2 years, you could get out of it without owing a dollar. And you swapped spots in the fourth round with the Eagles. You traded pick like 196 or pick 138 for pick 152 for DeMarco Murray. That's the kind of trade I'm okay with for an injured guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay 1 year, $3 million with incentives for an injured guy. I'm not okay with 20th overall or 21st overall for Farley for an injured guy, and other teams are saying, oh my God, you know, if the corner works out, God bless you, but we wouldn't take him. It's like, I don't like that. That's the difference. I actually think the DeMarco trade was a great trade. But this idea of, you know, hey, Farley, do we have Ian, do we have John from the draft when he was asked about the medicals on Farley or what his doctors had said?
We got a couple here. Yeah, just the general gist here.
Okay, this is what John Robinson said when they picked him.
We spent time with him and got the medicals on him and had follow-up phone calls, you know, talked to trainers over at Virginia Tech that he's worked with and really got a detailed breakdown of what he's been doing and how he attacks everything, and everybody spoke glowingly of that. I've had follow-up conversations with our medical team several times about Caleb because we had such an affinity for him. Again, just excited that he was there and we were able to pick him.
Sounds like he's putting the medical team on the record there.
And also, I don't want to accuse the Virginia Tech medical team or trainers of doing anything or saying anything that isn't true.
They're not going to tell John Robinson, don't pick him.
Exactly. They work for the university, and it only looks good for the university for their player to be picked in the first round. Of course they're going to say, oh, yeah, he's great. Love his work ethic. Great guy. Great player. Everything looks fine. They're not going to say, hey, John, I wouldn't if I were you.
I told you, a league source said the Falcon doctors thought Julio Jones was never going to be Julio Jones ever again. You think they were going to tell the Titans that?
Absolutely not.
Okay. to your phones on it next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that the demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drove over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car on the market and rank the best ones in each category, so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. Edmunds editors document driving and maintaining vehicles over the course of 20,000 miles in the first year of ownership. They report red flags, routine ins and outs, and everything else you need to know. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see the best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com for cars. There's Edmunds.
Our medical staff, you know, they've dealt with a lot of injuries in the National Football League, and they feel confident in it. You know, we spoke to him several times and said he was feeling great after having the latest procedure. And, you know, I have the utmost confidence he's going to attack, you know, the process to get himself ready as soon as possible.
There you go. John Robinson said the medical team, you know, they've dealt with injuries in the NFL. They believe Farley. If Farley were to be draft eligible today, do you think he'd get drafted today?
Well, after with a torn ACL when he's out with the season?
Well,
for the season?
Like, he wouldn't get drafted. I'm talking about, like, if they were drafting for the 2022 draft.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. And he has a torn ACL. And he has the shoulder.
Not in the first round.
Well, no. I mean, I don't even know if he'd get drafted.
Maybe not.
Like, Trey Smith went in the sixth round. And he had played two seasons after those blood clots had been determined. Now, Trey Smith's working out right now. But I don't know. Let's go to your phones. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Ryan texts in and says, I did not expect to get much from Farley this season. I'll wait until next season to pass judgment.
Dude, I mean, I hear you. But it's not like, here's the thing about football. There's only one way to get better at football or in order to maintain your level of skill with football.
It's to play football.
See, that's the thing that's tough about, like, a lot of skills in life. Most skills in life you can only get better at by doing consistently. So, like, lying, for example. If somebody's a good liar, chances are they lie a lot because they practice. And so if you stop lying and you tell the truth every day, it's hard to tell a lie. And that's with any skill in life. And so, like, in basketball, Michael Jordan, when he came back from baseball, he was shooting the movie Space Jam. And it was legendary that Warner Brothers literally built a practice facility for Michael. And they would invite all the players from UCLA and all the top NBA players that lived in Los Angeles to come play pickup. Because Michael wanted to go up against the guys that he was going to be playing against in the NBA. The only way you get better at basketball is by playing basketball. But it's easier to play basketball. Because it's not like Reggie Miller thinks, okay, if I go and play in this game out here in Hollywood, that my career may be over. You don't go play football on the side. There is no way to practice football outside of football. So Caleb Farley didn't play last year because he opted out for COVID. Didn't play the year before that, I believe, and he was pretty good. He had a back injury, opted out because of COVID. Then he doesn't play this year. So you think, it's not like where he was yesterday, he stops and now picks up and goes. Like, this is a setback. This is a major setback. In order for Farley to have an impact as an NFL player, he would need to be a truly special player. And I'm not sure he is.
I don't think that's fair to say.
That he is or isn't?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if he retired for 3 years and didn't play football and then came back, how many guys can do that in any sport?
I don't know.
Can, like, just retire for 2 years, 3 years?
But I don't think it's fair to say he's not a special player. When you, like, to be fair, I haven't seen Caleb Farley play football.
Like, he better be a special player. Like, if he's not a special player, then he's not going to be able to overcome all the time he missed and the injuries and not get injured again.
Tough one, this ACL. I mean, he's going to be out probably an entire year. And for him to even be able to start the season and to be able to expect a whole lot is a stretch at this point, just based on the recovery time.
To miss training camp, and miss the rest of this season.
I mean, next year's already looking like it's going to be tough for him to make a huge impact already.
It's a bad pick.
It was, I mean, we all said going into the draft it was too risky of a pick.
The three of us said no.
Going into the draft, and we didn't change that tune after they picked him. We didn't all of a sudden say, you know what, John Robinson, good call. You know, he's injured, but that's a good, you know, that's a good value getting him at 22 if he's as good as they say he is.
Can we get Chris Sanders' reaction from draft night if we have that, Ian? And, I mean, I don't want to knock on Chris. I love Chris. But can we get Chris's draft night reaction?
You're going into the season with question marks. I mean, when you have, if you could have drafted those other guys, Newsom or Ojulari, you don't have any question marks. With Caleb Farley, you don't know if he's explosive. You don't know if he can, you know, run or anything like that, because everybody was talking about that he's fluid and fast. Okay, I want to see it in individual workouts, but you don't know because he didn't have an individual workout. So it's so many question marks. And I'm not disrespecting, you know, yes, I am, Dan Gummit. I'm going to. It was a terrible pick. I mean, it was. And I'm not saying it's a terrible pick because he's not a good player. It's a terrible pick is because you don't know if this guy's healthy or not.
And I'd say Chris, you know, pretty spot on. I do love how Chris said an hour ago on the show, I'm not disrespecting anybody, but.
I'm not disrespecting anybody, but you know what? Nope. Yep, I am.
But he didn't do that an hour ago, but he did do that 6 months ago. 615-737-1025. We'll hit some headlines with Caroline. We'll do that coming up next. Stillman and Company, CSPN 1025 The Game. Developing story to keep an eye on in the NFL. Mark Berman of Fox 26 in Houston. And I will say this. Mark Berman was very much somebody that if Mark Berman wrote it or said it or reported it, Floyd believed it. You know, or I shouldn't say believed it, but like he had a lot of respect for how Berman operated. Mm-hmm. Mark Berman reports Texans are working toward a potential deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins. That could get done this week. If not this week, they still hope they can get it done before the November 2nd trade deadline. John McClain has written an article at the Houston Chronicle. The problem is nobody can read any article from the Houston Chronicle unless you're a member of the Houston Chronicle, and I'm not going to be a member of the Houston Chronicle, no matter how much you love John McClain. John McClain, Texans, Dolphins could have Deshaun Watson deal done this week. Those are the two guys that when it came to the media in Houston that Floyd dealt with the most. Mark Berman, John McClain. And they're both saying Watson to the Dolphins could get done this week. Some guy I have never heard of, which makes it even more fun. And if this were just the only one that I had seen on this, then I may not even believe it. But Cody M. Davis, blue check mark on Twitter.
Okay, legit.
He hosts the Locked On Texans podcast and is a writer for the Texans Wire, which is like a USA Today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you go to all the different websites and you just put together what everybody else writes about them and then people click on it. He says, in regards to the Texans closing in on a deal that would send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins, he is hearing that it could be a three-team deal that would send Tua Tagovailoa to the Washington football team. So it sounds like Deshaun is getting dealt to the Dolphins. Now, here's what I wonder, which is, what are the Dolphins going to do if they send picks and Tua in a three-team deal with Washington, they acquire Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson goes to jail? Like, am I crazy for asking that question?
Well, that's a legitimate possibility.
Okay, so they send all these picks. Like, earlier in the offseason, it was reported that the Dolphins were okay with sending first-round picks away, but if they were going to do it, they wanted, you know, protections on the picks in case something happened to Deshaun. I mean, like, I don't think the Dolphins are going to the Super Bowl this year, but surely they're not trading away their starting quarterback, leaving themselves with Jacoby Brissett in the hopes that Deshaun Watson will get cleared of 22 women or 26 women or however many women it is that are accusing him of sexual assault and he'll be able to play football. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Do we have the trade details?
So, I mean, they haven't made the trade, so there are no details.
I know, but any sort of, you know, this is what they're asking for, this is what we may assume they want. Because, I mean, if I am Houston, I mean, you know, even if Miami does trade Tua to Houston, you're not getting any sort of immediate return from Tua. It's going to be a while before Tua is healthy enough to play. So I don't know what that, like, if I'm Miami, you have serious leverage here because you can bring the trade price down big time.
Well, they've already tried that. So the Texans came out this offseason and said they wanted the equivalent of 5 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. So they want 3 first-round picks and 2 players that were the caliber of a first-round pick, and they had no interest in Tua. So was the start
things
of it.
Change.
I mean, I still think they have no interest in Tua.
Then why make this trade?
Because you get all those first-round picks, and then you go get the quarterback you want. I mean, like, if they think Tua sucks, and a lot of people do think Tua sucks, if they think Tua sucks, they're not interested in that. Then they're okay with, all right, fine, give us all your picks. Because I think part of this, too, was with the Jets, was if they were going to make a trade before the draft for the number 2 pick, that the Texans weren't interested in Sam Darnold. So, because it was like, well, you throw in Darnold and the number 2 pick, and then, but the Texans were like, no, we're not interested in Darnold, because they wanted to draft Zach Wilson.
But if you're Miami, you trade away all your picks and your quarterback for a quarterback, he goes to jail. Now you have Jacoby Brissett and no picks.
You get fired.
Yes.
Like, that's the way that works. Like, we were talking about this off the air, about if you're sitting there trying to make picks, and you're like, well, if I draft this guy and he's injured and he stays injured, then what? You get fired. Like, that is, and I'm not saying John Robinson should be fired or that there should be discussions about firing him, because he's been general manager of the Titans for 6 years. They've had 5 winning seasons, and this looks like it's going to be the 6th. And you can't fire a guy who doesn't lose. So I'm, you know, but normally if you were to ask a general manager, hey, if you take a guy who within a year is off your roster, and the next year you draft an injured guy who gets more injured, and you trade for an injured wide receiver who gets injured, and you do all the, most people will tell you, well, then that guy gets fired. Like, that's usually how this works.
It just seems so high risk for, you know, possibly no reward.
So Lance Zierlein, who covers the Houston, but also writes for NFL.com, says Mark Berman is Houston's version of Woj, Ian Rappaport, and Adam Schefter. Impeccable sources and does not go with anything until he has vetted it out. He is an extremely trustworthy source, so I am paying attention to Mark Berman's report, which backs up what I said, that Floyd really respected Mark Berman. And here's what I can't get over. I understand Washington's angle to this. They have no quick fix at the quarterback position because they drafted Dwayne Haskins. So they have to make up for that mistake. So they've tried everything. They tried Fitzpatrick. He got hurt. They've got they tried Kyle Allen. He got hurt. They got Taylor Heinicke, who's a backup. And he's fine, but he's a backup. So they need a quarterback in Washington. And they may be too good to be picking like 1st or 2nd. I'm told this draft is a terrible draft for quarterbacks. That it's just an awful draft. I think Matt Corral might be towards the top.
Spencer Rattler.
No, he's apparently fallen way off.
Well, yes, that's what but he is a quarterback that can be taken in this draft.
Apparently he's on the Matt Barkley train to irrelevance. But I guess I'm kind of looking at this and thinking to myself that I don't see how you can, unless there are protections on the deal. Now, somebody put out there on Twitter that Roger Goodell would not have wanted a trade of Deshaun to Miami before the London game. Which probably makes some sense. I mean, we don't care about growing the game in London, but they care about growing the game in London. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that he wants a team over there in London that's getting peppered with a bunch of questions about their quarterback on the shelf right now that they just traded for to be their franchise guy who's facing all these sexual assault issues. Then again, Urban played there last week, so I don't know. But I guess we'll keep an eye on it. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a 2-team trade. I think it's going to be the Dolphins. I think it's going to be the Texans. I think the Dolphins are going to send over 2 third-round picks that will be first-round picks if Deshaun Watson starts a game for the Miami Dolphins. I think so. The Texans will basically get 2 1s or 2 3s, and then they'll get some other picks and a player. Like maybe a 2nd-rounder and a 4th-rounder and a player. And they'll get their 5 assets, and they'll say, hey, this is the best we could do given the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll roll with Davis Mills for this year. And if there's a quarterback they like, then I think they'll move up to take him next year. If there's not, then I think they'll wait another year. And maybe with Caserio try to move out of a lot of these picks. But I do think that if Mark Berman is saying that the Texans and the Dolphins are working towards a potential deal, I think there's going to be concessions on both sides of it. And I think they're going to end up getting a deal done.
Well, because both quarterbacks come with so much risk. Tua comes with such a high injury risk. Deshaun Watson comes
with
a
risk. The risk that he sucks.
And also that. And also, I mean, Deshaun Watson comes with a risk that he may or may not be in prison.
So pretty big risk.
It doesn't make any sense to me that you would deal, and you know, if it was just a Tua for Deshaun situation, okay, fine. They both come with risks. But I'm not giving you any more capital than that.
Yeah, but that's not how.
I know that's not how things work. I know that that's not how it works. It's just not a deal that I would do.
Coming up next here on the program, and we will get to Caroline's headlines, but I thought that was a pretty big headline, so I just wanted to hit on that one. We will get to that, but coming up next, Jeremy Pruitt. Did you see this?
I did, yes.
Jeremy Pruitt firing off a lawsuit. And Tennessee fans, the reaction to this, I kind of think is pretty funny. We'll get to this next. Stillman and Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.